Please join me now in praying for our message this morning. Salamat po, Panginoon. Thank you, Lord God, for giving us the opportunity to listen to your word, to sit at your feet and listen to your word. Salamat po, Panginoon. I pray, Lord God, that I will be an effective messenger today. I pray, Lord God, that as I share your word, you will open the hearts of the people, Lord God, who are listening to this, whether they are here in person or watching via live stream. I pray, Lord God, that you will touch their hearts, cause them, Lord God, to be changed by your message, because this is not my message, Lord, this is yours. And I pray that I will just be effective in sharing it to them. Marami pong salamat, Panginoon. I entrust all this to you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Yan, as usual, I have no PowerPoint presentation, but please allow me to just share this message to you this morning. Dito kasi ano po, in this wicked world that we live in, you may ask, why is honor still so important? Parang, why does everyone need to be held in high respect? Bakit? Wicked world naman ito, di ba? Everyone wants to be yung tinatawag nilang esteemed highly. No? Halimbawa, politicians, they may start low, from the bottom, but still they dream of the highest position of honor. No matter how corrupt a politician is, no, he does not want to be known as a thief. Instead, he wants to be known as a man of honor. Hindi po ba? Whether they are successful executives or businessmen or celebrities or sports figures or whatever prominent figure, aside from success and riches, they want to be known as men of honor. Who doesn't want to be a man of honor? Diba? But then the next question is, how does one attain honor? Yeah. And then it really depends on who defines that word. The old school definition of honor is that it is the virtue of all virtues. Yeah, sabi niya, the virtue of all virtues, because it is living by the virtues. Yeah, and you have great respect for yourself, for others, and for the rules that you live by. But if it's defined by the world that we live in now, diba, then expect that it pertains to ito, position, success, fame, fortune, or some other earthly value that the world aims for. And so, the guest of honor in a public event would not necessarily be the most honorable man present there in the room. But he could be the one with the highest position. But here's the catch. If Jesus Christ were to define it and teach us how to attain it, expect the exact opposite of it. And so this morning, I would like to discuss to you the true path to honor. And that just happens to be the title of my message today. The true path to honor. So please turn your Bibles with me to Mark chapter 9. That's Mark chapter 9, and we will be reading from 33 to 37. Alam niyo, since this is the Lord Jesus Christ who spoke in this verse, I would like to ask that again we will rise and show respect to the word of the Lord as we read the passage that we have this morning. Sige, as we read it, please have an attitude of worship as we read this passage. Mark 9:33 to 37. They came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, He began to question them. This is Jesus Christ speaking, by the way. What were you discussing on the way? But they, the apostles, kept silent. For on the way they had discussed with one another which of them was the greatest. Sitting down, he called the 12 and said to them, "If anyone wants to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all." Taking a child, he set him before them, and taking him in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever receives one child like this in my name receives me, and whoever receives me does not receive me, but him who sent me." We can sit down now. And from this passage, I will be focusing on Jesus Christ's statement on verse 35, where he said, "If anyone wants to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all." This statement is Christ's powerful two-pronged exhortation on humility and service, or more accurately, servanthood. And so this is the part of my sermon where I bear to you the outline of my passage. We only have two main points: humility and servanthood. So yan lang, two points. So I do not have to mention to you that this is going to be a short service. Ayan, di ba? Happy lahat. Biglang everyone who was closing their eyes in sleep, suddenly, biglang natuwa at saka nabuhay. Sabi nga ni Archie kanina, mukhang mahaba ang iyong manuscript. "Don't worry." Sabi ko, nag-uumpisa pa lang tayo, sasabihin ko na kagad, malapit na tayong matapos. I just had to mention that, Archie, para mamaya pagalitan ka ni Pastor. So eto po, humility and servanthood. Now before we go into the main points, please allow me to just give a short background of the passage in Mark 9, verses 33 to 37. A parallel passage would be found in Matthew 18, verse 1 to 5, which in the NASB is entitled "Rank in the Kingdom," where Jesus Christ essentially said the same things to his disciples. Now, however, in the book of Matthew, it tells the story of Jesus Christ as the promised Messiah in more detail. Mark's gospel is not much concerned with the details, but is written to call on his readers to act. Ayan. It gives us the challenge to respond to the truths embedded in the powerful stories written in his gospel. Now, the passage starts with verse 33, which says, "They came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he began to question them, 'What were you discussing on the way?'" Ayan. They reached the home in Capernaum. And now, some scholars say that this was the house of Peter, but they can say for sure. Let's not get caught up with the details. If the Bible does not say whose house it was, let's just trust that it is not that important to the lesson that God wants us to learn in this particular passage. And so he asks the apostles, "Ayan, what were you discussing on the way?" Habang tayo'y pauwi na, habang tayo naglalakad na papunta dito sa bahay, anong pinag-uusapan nyo? Ayan. What a medyo interesting question to ask. But then, by this time, the apostles were already aware that the fullness of deity dwelled in Christ's body. Alam na po nila yon. They knew that he was God in human flesh. They knew that. How? Kasi naman he already performed so many miracles, even right there in Capernaum. And so, why would Christ bother to ask a question when he, being God, already knew the answers to everything? Di ba? Interesting, di ba? Bakit kang tatanong ganyan? Ikaw ang Diyos. But then, this was not a question to find out the answers. This was a question directed at them to cause them to search their hearts and guide it to the right path. So given that Matthew has more detail on the story of the Messiah, let's look at Matthew 18 and its previous chapters, chapters 16 and 17, just to give us the proper perspective of the passage in the book of Mark. So in Matthew 16, Jesus foretells of his death in verse 21. And he says, he will suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed. So yun po, Matthew 16, sinabi na niya, he will suffer many things and be killed. And then again in Matthew 17, again, Jesus Christ tells him the same thing in verse 22. Please turn to verse 22, where he said, the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and he will be raised on the third day. And they, the apostles, were deeply grieved. Alam na nila na mamamatay si Jesus. And they were deeply grieved. Jesus Christ spoke about it in Matthew 16. And then again, in Matthew 17, he said, I will be delivered into the hands of men. I will be killed. Napaka bigat po noon. Imagine someone so close to you saying that to you. My death is approaching. Wouldn't that really cause so much grief in your heart? And then, in Matthew chapter 18, which is entitled Rank in the Kingdom, it begins with the disciples arguing who among them is the greatest. Unbelievable. Hindi po ba parang nakakagulat naman ito? So sometimes you wonder, Lord, are these the men who will follow in your footsteps and establish the Christian church? Are these the men whom you have chosen to spread the gospel to the four corners of the world? Are these the men who we will look up to as shining examples of how Christians should live? We all know that there will come a time when these disciples will truly shine. Diba? And then they will end their missionary careers with stories, great stories of martyrdom, with all glory and honor given to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But this was not the time. Hindi po ito. This was a shameful time for all of them. Because here was Jesus Christ telling them in plain language, mamamatay ako. He was going to die. He was going to be delivered into the hands of men and be killed. And here they were engaged in, siguro heated debate on who among them was the greatest apostle. Hindi ba nakakahiya? It was probably a long discussion, a very embarrassing one, for it to be noticed by the Lord Jesus Christ, who just had to expose it so that their hearts would be exposed. Kasi naman talaga nakakahiya. Parang mga bata, pataasan ng ihi, pasiklaban kung sino uupo sa kanan at sa kaliwa niya. Each one wanted to be above the others. No, each one wanted to be in charge while the other apostles were under them. Parang ganun ang dating. Now, in chapter 9, verse 34, instead of answering Jesus' question, they didn't want to admit what they were talking about because they realized that it was so childish, so ambitious, and their motives were truly only for self-glorification. Definitely not thinking of the glory of God. Their silence showed that their hearts were proud and self-centered. And That is why they kept silent. Dapat lang, di ba? Can you really justify your actions before God who sees all things? This was probably the only thing that they did right, to keep silent. Many of us have to learn to do that. Ayan. Some of us, when confronted with their sin, find themselves, masyado kasi tayo matalino kuminsan eh. We try to justify our sin. Instead of acknowledging their sin, they try to explain what drove them to commit their sin or why they are not solely responsible for that sin. Parang, or somehow they try to find a way to lessen the impact of their sin. So kids, if your parents confront you with a sin, or husbands or wives, if your spouse confronts you with a sin, or church members, brothers and sisters, if you are confronted with your leaders or with your fellow members with your sin, sige, try justifying yourself. And you will realize that you will just prolong the discussion and aggravate the situation and aggravate the discipline that is intended for you. But keep silent. Acknowledge your faults. Have a repentant heart, a repentant attitude, and a lowly heart that asks for forgiveness. And realize that mercy will flow. The apostles were brought to the point of conviction and embarrassment. Kaya dituloy makapagsalita. Yeah. And so, Jesus, in verse 35, sat down and began to teach. If anyone wants to be first. So earlier I mentioned that the world has a different definition of honor. Diba? The Jewish leaders demanded respect instead of commanding respect. They exalted themselves. They enjoyed their lofty positions of honor and even demanded respect from Christ himself. Because they were the leaders, they lorded it over the people and saw themselves greater than most, even greater than Christ, sa totoo lang. This was the culture of the time, and they probably worked hard with years of study for them to attain leadership status and honor. Now, Christ teaches his disciples the exact opposite of the culture of the Jews. He gives them these conditions to anyone who wants to be first. He shall be last of all and servant of all. So let's talk about the first requirement. Yeah, the last of all. Who among us here wants to be last? Who wants to join a race and finish last? Parang wala yata. So let me just tell you beforehand that this does not apply to sports, studies, or careers. You do not join a race and desire to finish last. Hindi po. You do not enroll in a course and have a goal to graduate at the bottom of the class. That's not what I mean. There's nothing wrong with joining a company and excelling at your work for the purpose of climbing the corporate ladder and achieving the highest position in the company. Wala pong diferensya doon. In fact, you should strive for excellence and make a significant contribution to your employers. Work for man as if you were working for God. That is not the last of all status that Jesus was referring to. Bakit? Kasi you can arrive last in a race and still be boastful. You can graduate at the bottom of the class and still be full of pride. And you may be the clerk of the lowest rank in your company and still be the most arrogant employee. So what Jesus was saying was you must genuinely display humility and lower your hearts wherever the Lord has placed you. Yun lang po ang ibig sabihin, no? You must assume a posture of the kind of humility that our Lord Jesus taught us. And it is difficult to learn because that is not what the world teaches. We live in a highly competitive world where everyone wants to be number one. Yeah. Everyone wants to be first. Kasi naman, a sinful heart does not want to be the last or the least. It worships itself, di ba? It wants to be the alpha. Yeah. It is full of pride. That is the sinful heart. Now, the apostles knew this because this was what they learned from their culture. Maliit pa lang sila, yun nakaagad ang napag-aralan nila. Yun ang kanilang nakagisnan na, kumbaga. Kasi naman, at that time, people admired the Jewish leaders because of their high position, because of their status, and the respect that was given to them. But Jesus saw their hearts even as they appeared holy in the eyes of the people. They were men who called attention to their spirituality and exalted themselves as above the people. They gave money in the temple while everyone watched. They threw ashes on their head and sat in a public place to appear humble and repentant. And then they prayed out loud with long prayers to impress people with their spirituality. And that was the exact opposite of what Christ taught concerning humility. And we know this because Christ is the supreme example of humility. And he used this opportunity to teach the apostles the true path to honor. Jesus was saying that greatness in the kingdom of God is not determined by your position or by your status. But let me just clarify that it is not wrong to be at the top. It is not wrong to be rich or to be successful in business or to be the executive of a company with thousands of people under you. You can be at the top and still remain humble. Yun pa. Humility is determined by the lowliness of heart, not by position or status. The whole passage relates to humility. God hates the arrogant and loves the humble. We see that many times mentioned in Scripture. Let's look at some parallel verses in the Bible that teach humility. Ayan po, Scripture. Scripture is filled with verses that display the virtues of humility. But I just listed our favorite verses that we are all familiar with. Sige po. Luke 14, verse 11. Please go to Luke 14, verse 11. Luke 14, 11, "For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." Kabaliktaran na kabaliktaran. That's also what Luke 18, verse 14 says. But let's go to James 4, verse 6. We are also familiar with this. Kabisada na po natin lahat ito. "God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble." And then James again, just four verses after that. "Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will exalt you." The way to exaltation is through humility. That is what the verses are saying. And this reward is in Proverbs 3, verse 34. "Toward the scorners he is scornful, but to the humble he gives favor." Why does God hate a proud man? Kasi naman, the proud man does not fear God, does not worship God, and does not submit to God. God alone has the right to exalt himself, and yet he displayed humility. Kaya humility should be the attitude of every child of God. Yeah, the disciples' concept of honor, which was drawn from their culture, needed to be corrected and reversed. There, those who lord their positions over the others will never be great in the kingdom of God. But those who humbly serve others. Proverbs 22, verse 4. Please turn to that verse. Proverbs 22, verse 4. The reward for humility and fear of the Lord is what? Riches and honor and life. Beautiful rewards. Let's go to the second point. Servanthood. Yeah, we've heard this many times in this church before and in the preaching of many of our pastors and even pastors of different churches. I think Brother Gary also mentioned it. One of his preachings, he said, we are saved to serve. Ayan. None of us here have been saved for our own benefit, but for the benefit of the one who saved us, or for the pleasure of the one who saved us. You were saved to serve God. Ayan. So, are you part of a family that just wants to enjoy the benefits of being part of that family? Parang, I want to eat all of the delicious food that mom cooks, but I will have no part in the washing of the dishes or the clearing up of the table. Wala. I enjoy it when dad provides me with everything that I need for school, but I do not want to run errands for the family. I do not want to take out the trash or cut the grass or wash the car or clean the house. I don't want any part of that. I just want the benefits. Pwede ba yun? Hindi pwede yun, di ba? Siyempre, everyone has a role to play. The father serves, the mother serves, all the kids serve. Every member serves each other and everyone enjoys serving one another, hindi po ba? Now, in God's kingdom, each of us has a role to fulfill. In the local church family, dito po, sa Guiding Light, we must go out of our way and actively look for how we can serve the body. You think it's okay for you to just sit here every Sunday, listen to the preaching, and then go about your own way without serving? And if you begin to think that anyway, I give my tithes, medyo malaki-laki ang tithes ko, I give it to the church and I give it to the pastors and distribute it to every department that needs my help. Malaking tulong na ako sa church. I serve through my tithes. Let me be the one to break this to you. You are not serving. You are just obeying the command to tithe. Hindi po ganun ang service. Try to imagine a father who just gives his paycheck to his wife and then tells her, here's the money for everything that our family needs. Bahala ka na. Malaki yan. That's 200,000 pesos kaya na yan sa buong pamilya natin sa isang buwan. Tama na ba yun? Paano kung sinabi sa iyo ng asawa mo, paano? Junior needs help with his math homework. You're the only one who knows how to solve these math problems. Ate will be dismissed later. Medyo gabi na siya because of a program. She'll be dismissed late. Can you not pick her up? We have money to renovate the kitchen. But what do I know about electrical and plumbing? How can I instruct the workers? Can you not help me with this? Tama na ba yung nagbigay ka ng pera? Parang, I'm sure many of you fathers realize this. You have a bigger role to play than just providing for your family. So in the same manner, we each have a role to play here in a local church, here in Guiding Light. You might think that there's enough people who serve and your services are no longer required. Try joining a ministry and see how much workers are still needed just to go about the regular fellowships. most complaints from ministries is that there are not enough workers. Yun lang po ang lagi naming naririnig. There are not enough workers. So here's my challenge. Join a ministry. Serve and be a blessing to that ministry. You don't have to come up here and preach. But if you do, I'll be very happy. But you'll be surprised at how much work still needs to be done in the church. I remember the time when I was just new in our former church, dito po, we were still holding services in our original church here in Session Road. Ayan po, the church just started services in a space, and we only had a few volunteers. Everyone just basically attended services and then left. Ganun lang po. But there was one man. Huh? Ninong po namin sa kasal. I will mention his name now because he's no longer with us. He's now with the Lord. Ninong Zaldi po. He was a manager in one of the biggest commercial banks in the country. Malaki po yung branch na hawak niya. I knew him because I also worked in another branch and I had some business with him. And after the service, when everyone would rush home, Ninong Zaldi would stay behind. And then he would fix the chairs, arrange the tithe envelopes in the chairs. Napaka-humble po ng kanyang puso. He was the manager of maybe the biggest bank branch in Baguio. And he did not let his position get to his head. He loved to serve the church. And I saw him and I said to myself, wow, that is a heart of service. And so when he later became an elder of the church, and when I got married, he was the first person I approached to become my ninong. The Lord used him to make me realize that service is indeed the path to honor. Ayan, it does not matter how big or small your role is in ministry. You can serve in your own little way, but it will make a difference in the ministry. Just your being there would be a blessing to the ministry workers. So this morning, I would like to encourage you, even challenge you, to obey this command to be employed in the Lord's service. Please turn your Bible to 2 Timothy 1. 2 Timothy 1, verse 9. The Lord saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of His own purpose and grace, which He gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. And He saved us and chose us for His holy work because that was His plan. You are not saved by your service, but you are saved to render service to the Lord. Please turn your Bibles to Romans 12, verse 1. Romans 12, verse 1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. It cost Jesus His own life to purchase your salvation. Now, because of God's great mercy, it is but fitting to offer yourselves as a living sacrifice to God, dedicated to His service. Romans 12, verse 1. The Apostle John taught that our loving service to others shows that we are truly saved. He said in 1 John 3, verse 14, we know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Ayan. If you have no love for others, no desire to serve others, this should cause you to question whether Christ really is in your life. Are you content to be a member who was after the benefits but not willing to contribute any kind of service when your brothers are already pleading for help. A saved heart is one that wants to serve. There is no believer who is not called to serve. So if anyone wants to be first, that, by the way, is not a selfish desire. No? You want to be the senior pastor or you want to be an elder? Scripture says that is a noble task that you desire. If you want to be the holiest man here in the church, wow. I'm telling you, that is a noble desire, and I pray that you will attain it, because it is not a self-centered desire. It is a desire with the glory of God as its goal. Yes, I hope you attain it. But it must be attained following the path that Christ prescribed. And that is the path of humility and servanthood. You must humble yourself to the point that you desire to come along others to serve them. Yeah, you must radically change your outlook and take the opposite of the path that the world takes. You must sacrifice yourself in service to others. You must voluntarily and joyfully give yourselves to others in need. You consider the needs of others before yours. Jesus Christ said, you must be the servant of all. No one is beneath you. You serve everyone. So this is what Jesus meant when he said, you must be a servant. You must be a worker. You must not just be a spectator or a watcher, or not one who watches the workers who work hard and then complain about how things should be done instead. Hindi po ganun. Turn now to verse 36 to 37 of Mark 9. Mark 9, 36 to 37. And it says, taking a child, he set him before them, and taking him in his arms, he said to them, whoever receives one child like this in my name receives me. And whoever receives me does not receive me, but him who sent me. Now the Greek word for child used in this passage means an infant or a toddler. Basta, masyado pang bata. Too young, with no strength, no wisdom, no life experience, and he relies on his parents for his every need. He's too young, too small to take care of himself. He's the embodiment of helplessness and dependence. Now, Christ was saying that whoever receives a child, so whoever helps a child, or whoever feeds a child, or whoever nurtures him, teaches him, whoever serves him, serves Christ and the Father who sent Christ. The child became an illustration of a spiritual child of God, a fellow believer. When a fellow believer comes to you for help, realize that how you treat him is how you treat Christ. Any act of service toward another is the same as service to the Lord. When you serve the needs of someone, you serve Christ. Christ comes to us in every believer. So do not just look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Look out for the needs of others. Because Jesus was saying, pour out your lives to others. Begin with your family, then extend it to your spiritual family, the church. Each of us must assume some responsibility being a member of the family. Each of us must exercise his spiritual gift to serve the family. These gifts were not given to you for you alone to enjoy, nor was this given to be hidden in a closet, never to see the light of day. Let me leave you with this beautiful encouragement, which was promised by Christ. Ayan, if I cannot convince you to serve out of love or out of the kindness of your heart, let me just try bribing you. Ayan, suhol na akong suhol. Turn to Matthew 10, verse 40. Matthew 10, verse 40. Whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. And whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. Aba, ito na. Reward na ang pinag-uusapan. Okay, Matthew 25 verse 34. Mas maganda naman itong promise na ito sa Matthew 25 verse 34. Let me read it now to you. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Wow. Inherit the kingdom that was prepared for you from the foundation of the world. What kind of kingdom is this? Definitely not an earthly kingdom, but a heavenly kingdom. And this was promised, prepared for you. Let's continue to read from verse 35. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly, I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me. Ayan, I cannot imagine how great the rewards will be for those who have served, but for those who have been given the resources and the opportunities to serve, but chose not to use them, there will be less rewards. And what then should we expect if we are to be the servant of others? What happens if we give of ourselves instead of just receiving? First, it brings strength to our faith. We grow stronger in the Lord. Second, it brings joy to our hearts. The more we serve, the pleasure it brings, the more pleasure it brings to our hearts. But more importantly, it validates our confession that Jesus is our Lord. Remember James 2:14. Diba? Ano sinabi si James 2:14? Turn to James 2:14, please. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and be filled, without giving him the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. And all these rewards you will achieve while giving glory to the one who deserves all the glory. But you must first lose your sense of self-importance and seek to do the will of your master. Because the master has given himself away to you and to others. Yeah. Remember the parable of the talents. One day we will stand as servants before the master, and we will give an account of how we gave ourselves in serving others. So were we generous in giving of ourselves? Or were we selfish and gave little or nothing in service to others? And the day is coming very soon, because Revelations 22, verse 12, Revelations 22, verse 12 says, behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to render to every man according to what he has done. So remember, we have been saved to serve. Who is the greatest among us? Who among us will occupy seats of honor in the kingdom that we will inherit? Let's not argue the way the apostles argued. That is not the way. Because we know that humility and servanthood is the true path to honor, I pray that each one of us will exhibit humility and have many years of fruitful service to his master. I pray that you will desire to be the last of all and the servant of all. Please join me now in prayer. Lord, we come before you now with this truth. And we pray, Lord God, that we will just take it to heart, Lord. That we will choose the path of honor, but we'll choose the path that you have prescribed to attain this. Lord, we pray for every heart here. We pray for hearts of humility, hearts of servanthood, and we pray, Lord God, that it will be joyful hearts that will serve you, Lord God, as we take this path. This is what you have commanded, Lord, and we pray that we will just obey this command. Salamat po, Panginoon. Father, we just entrust to you the rest of our day. Thank you also for those who have decided to give their tithes today. Panginoon, salamat po sa kanilang mga puso sa pagbabalik sa inyo. Thank you, Lord God, for giving them the desire to obey the command to tithe. We pray, Lord God, that you will just multiply these tithes, Lord God, for your kingdom and for your glory. As we go our separate ways, Lord God, we pray that we will also be careful to give you back the glory that you alone deserve. Salamat po, Panginoon. We entrust all these to you. In Jesus' name, amen.